Amazing channel. That's really cool. Okay, we are now live. Now, just before we did this, I was like testing all the microphones to make sure things work. This is called testing in production. It's like not making sure things work before you actually use them. Now, I'm just going to tweet a link over here so people know we're live. And now we're looking at the comments just here. So if someone's listening to this, it means that they can actually hear us and it works, which is good. So let me know that the audio is okay. So what we've done is I've got a Zoom H6 recorder, which I've normally just used to record onto an SD card, but we've got two mics going into there, and then it's USBing out into the laptop to look like an audio device. And it's the first time I've done like multiple channels on a live stream. All right, Logan says, yep, all good. Cheers, Logan. We are good. So I'm here with Ari on Christmas Day. This is Christmas Day for us.
Yep.
Yep, because we're in the future compared to most people, which is cool. And everyone will be happy to know the future is very warm. It's 27 degrees at the moment. It's not yet 8 a.m. And does it feel really sticky as well? It really?
Yep.
Yeah, really humid too. So we're still in Port Douglas, which is the same spot I was in when I was sitting over there last week doing it. So it's, it's just a super, super tropical kind of place, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I don't know if you heard it last night, but it rained really heavily.
Nope.
Oh, man, it was belted down. So it woke me up. And then I was thinking, what stuff have we left out? Because we do tend to leave a lot of stuff around when we're playing. Anyway, I'm going to come back to the Christmas stuff and the Port Douglas stuff. I've got two cyber things first. One of them just being normal sponsor stuff. So 1Password, you know 1Password?
Yeah.
You use 1Password?
Yeah.
You love 1Password?
Yep.
Okay, good answer. Keep saying that. So 1Password sponsor again this week. It will now be just about bang on 10 years ago. You wouldn't remember this. Since I started using 1Password, and it's obviously got a new relationship with them during 2020 as well, which is one nice outcome of the year. So big thanks to 1Password. And the reason he uses it is he's on a family account. So if you buy a family account, you can have yourself and your partner and then your kids and things like this. And then we share vaults, so I can see what's in your vault. You know that, don't you?
Yep.
Yeah, I control your digital life.
Oh.
Until you're older anyway. And then you've got all your secrets and things. You can put all the secret to everyone except for me. But your secrets and stuff go in there and your passwords and things. And, you know, we can manage that account together, which is kind of useful. You know, or I've got one with my partner and I can put stuff in there that she can see. Because it's this old thing of how many times do you go, oh, I want to share a password for something with my significant other. How do I do it? Because you know what my passwords look like. Like you can't.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to read it out. So that works really well because you just chuck it in the shared vault and then they can just log into their 1Password account and pull it out through there. So clever stuff. Now, just having a look at some of the comments here as well. So Ari, some of these people, I don't know Mike. So Mike's in the UK. The UK is basically just like here. It's beautiful. You've been to the UK, you know.
And I've seen Scott.
You've seen Scott in the UK as well. A bunch of people from the UK. So we tried to do this early enough in the day that, first of all, your sister's not up, so we don't have to do any presents yet, so that we can get this out of the way first. And also so that we can catch the Europe audience. So at the moment it's 10:50 in Oslo, which means it's 9:50 in the evening, Christmas Eve, in the UK. Some of the Andrew here is feeling the cold of North England, snow and frost on the way. That's very different.
Christian is in Germany.
That's sweet. Okay. So yeah, very different part of the world now. So I don't want to come back, and we're just going to go through some of the things I've been sharing publicly, and we'll get Ari to explain some of the things we've been doing here. But I appreciate that's not for everyone. So let me do the cyber things first. And this is actually one that you and I have spoken about over the last few days because it's been super, super, super nasty, is Ledger. Now, Ledger make a crypto wallet. So this is like a physical device to hold Bitcoin, another cryptocurrency. Now, I could explain what that means, except I don't completely understand it, so I can't.
But one of the many things you don't understand.
Yeah, thanks, mate. If I go to Ledger, I think it's ledger.com. Oh, this is all so nasty. Like, I'm trying to type in the Ledger URL, and even typing it in, I'm seeing the phishing pages that people have subsequently set up that look like Ledger. Because what's happened here, just while I load it up, is Ledger had a data breach. It looks like it was back in about June, middle of the year. Someone stole their data and it up for sale. I think they're asking for about 5 Bitcoin. Now, do you know how much a Bitcoin is worth?
$6,000.
Jeez, that's probably not a bad guess. I don't know. I know it's changed a lot recently because Bitcoin's gone way up. So Bitcoin at the moment, don't quote me on the 5 thing either. It just seemed like a reasonable number. what's it at the moment? Why can't I see the individual? Oh, here we go, prices. So Bitcoin is $30,000 at the moment.
Oh, so close.
Jeez. But let's say someone is going to pay, let's say $100,000. The thing that they were getting is that they were getting a whole list of email addresses. So there are over 1 million email addresses. And then there was something like 275,000, I think, email addresses alongside name, home address, and phone number. So imagine you have like this great big list of hundreds of thousands of people, and you know that they all have one of these. So this is what the crypto wallets look like. They actually look like pretty cool little devices.
Futuristic.
The world's most popular hardware wallet, next generation hardware. So this is almost like, imagine the physical wallet we have with like your stuffed notes and credit cards and things in there. This holds digital currency, except you can put as much as you want in there. It's not like your real wallet where if you get enough, it overflows or something like that. Anyway. So the point is that you've now got hundreds of thousands of contact details for people that have crypto wallets and are in cryptocurrency. Normally you'd have one of these if you had a bit of Bitcoin as well. I mean, if you've got 50 cents worth of Bitcoin, you're not going to go and spend, you know, a bit of money on a wallet. So these are people that have money. So what we're seeing now is just a massive amount of scams. Now, it looks like since this thing got breached and went for sale, the return on investment for attackers is that they could pay to get this list of people. And you got to remember, like, hackers are just business people, right? Mm. I mean, bad business people. Well, some of their businesses make money, but they're not nice.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So hackers pay that amount of money to get a return on the investment. So how do you get a return which would not only justify the cost of buying the data, but make you some money on top of it? Because, you know, otherwise I've got to go and have a day job or something. So inevitably what they're doing is mounting scare tactics. They're mounting phishing attacks. So we've seen phishing domains where they're trying to, and what I mean by phishing domain is instead of like ledger.com, it's ledger.com.trustme.com. So it's like a subdomain. And we're seeing some really, really nasty emails being sent around. But just to clarify, so the breach was in June. Data was sold. We got through to, must have been about 4 or 5 days ago, and all of the data has been dumped on a public forum somewhere. So when data gets breached, it's like one person has it, the person that took it, and they might sell it to one or two other people. So it doesn't circulate much. But then sooner or later, one of those people just goes, ah, screw it, and they put it on a public forum, and now everyone's got the data. So I had multiple people reach out to me at once and say, here is the ledger data. So now it's really broadly circulating. And because it's really cheap to send emails, people can send emails that are like this. So I'm going to read you. I showed you this one the other day. So I'll read it for the people listening to this. And then there was some more that I saw just this morning. So someone says, I now get 3 to 4 emails a day and 5 to 6 text messages a day go to hell. Now, of course, you can get text messages if your phone number has been leaked as well. All right, so here's the message. Hello, insert name here. I have recently become aware of your cryptocurrency holdings. I also live in, insert city here, and I also know that you live at, insert address here. So part of this is like social engineering, right? So think about that first sentence. If you got this email and it had your name and your address and your city, you'd be like, holy crap, like they know where this feels very, very personal, right?
Mm.
Okay, so scary. Yeah. Mm. I'm not afraid to invade your home. I don't want to make this any harder than it has to be. Scary?
Yep.
It's scary when someone has just demonstrated that they know where you live. I'm offering you $500. Shouldn't be much to you considering the recent pump to leave you alone. So the pump is the price of cryptocurrency has gone up a lot recently.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you guessed $5,000 for Bitcoin. It's $30,000. If not, I'm not afraid to show up when you least expect it and see how my wrench works against your face. It's not very subtle.
Yeah.
Or maybe even wait for you to leave your home and take your belongings whilst you're not there to call the police. I'll be waiting for the money and watching you until then. Like that's bad, right?
Yeah.
That's just really bad. And in fact, I was thinking today, and I'm going to give you more examples of this, but this to me, I was trying to think of other incidents, data breaches that led to personal harassment at this level. And the main one that came to mind, and this is one that you don't know about, is Ashley Madison. So Ashley Madison was an adult website for people who wanted to have affairs with other people.
Okay.
Anyway, this was like 5 years ago. But people got really seriously targeted there. So there are more than 30 million people in that data breach, and they were getting extortion emails. So same sort of thing. All the data got leaked. Hackers had sent emails saying, I know that you're in Ashley Madison. Unless you send me some Bitcoin, I'm going to tell all of your friends, you know, and your family and everything else that you are looking to have an affair.
Mm-hmm.
So nasty stuff. So this is a little bit reminiscent.
It can't be as bad as this.
It's different because this is a fear for personal safety where someone would need physical access to your home. And okay, they've put your address in there and that's scary, but I would hope that, and I would hate to get this. I would not like to get this email at all. But if I got it, I think most people could sit back and go, all right, yeah, hang on a moment. Like, how likely is this? You've actually got to be in my city. You've got to come to my house. And incidentally, if people have got cryptocurrency and they're on those wallets, as best I can tell, those wallets are pretty good devices. They're pretty secure. So even if they break into your house, it's like, what are they? Although, mind you, I don't know precisely how the wallet works. If someone takes the wallet, can they get access to the money? I suspect not, but then can you get access to the money? You know, like, it's almost like if someone took your physical wallet, but it was locked so hard they couldn't get the cash inside, but you also can't get the cash because someone else has now got the wallet. If someone knows how cryptocurrency wallets work and I've got that wrong, tell me. I think that the difference with the Ashley Madison thing is, first of all, there are more than 30 million people, so it was a very, very, very large number. It was also something that is a very taboo subject, and it was deeply, deeply personal, and it caused relationship breakdowns, it caused people to be outed from society. Some people's churches were even publishing the names of people to out them. So it was just super, super, super nasty. Also, people killed themselves. It's actually really dark. So multiple suicides were attributed back to the breach, where people felt that this had so destroyed their lives they killed themselves. So very, very serious stuff.
That's not good.
Not good at all. Now, that was the one I shared. I shared that 3 days ago. So I was just reading my news this morning, and there's another – how do I click on that? There's another one just here. There's a story on a crypto website here, beincrypto.com, a Christmas gift for Ledger users, death threats. And this has some more examples. So there's a few things here. So one of the problems is there's an increased threat of SIM swapping. You know what SIM swapping is?
Something to do with SIM cards?
Yeah, okay, good start. So imagine your phone, it's got a SIM card in it. Very often what happens to verify someone's identity is you get sent a text message. So remember, we were trying to sign into your Amazon account last night, and it's like, we need you to prove that you are who you say you are. We have sent a text message to your phone, and we're like, oh, we normally leave it turned off and away so we don't have access to it. But imagine a hacker had your username and your password, and then they got your SIM card as well. And they don't have to physically get it, because they could go to your telco, so the phone provider, and they could convince the phone provider that they're you, and then they get another SIM card. Now they get the message to unlock the account. So anyway, there's someone in here. You can see this guy, Jimbo. He says, Ledger is hacked, and the next day I have my SIM hacked. WTF, it's currently happening. No service on my phone. They got into Authenticator app and are requesting password changes to several sites, including Coinbase. So Coinbase is a big online crypto wallet service. Not even sure what to do. So that's pretty nasty. Someone else in here said, here's a quote here. He demanded 10 XMR, which is another cryptocurrency, and said that if it's not sent by midnight, he will show up at my house, kidnap me, and stab to death any relatives living at my address.
Oh.
Holy cow. And the thing is like, that's, I don't want to legitimize ransomware or things like that, but there is a class of hacking and cybersecurity which is kind of just business. And if you get caught doing this, it's not going to be good, but particularly if you're in parts of the world where it's harder to for law enforcement in places like Australia and the UK and the US to get their hands on, you know, nothing might happen. When you start making death threats, it's really different. And if law enforcement catches up with any of these people, they're going to jail for quite some time. And we can only hope that they do catch them. A few other things here. A lot of people are rightfully upset with Ledger for leaking their personal data. These people should also be upset with themselves for leaking their personal data to Ledger in the first place. So what this person's saying is that people shouldn't have given their data to Ledger. And they've used the word leak, which I think is really the wrong word here, because think about what's happening here. You're buying a physical device. Now, if you buy something online, what information do you need to provide in order to receive that device?
Your phone number. And if you're buying like off Amazon and you want something, they need your address,
right?
Name and stuff,
right? And your email to send them. Like, all of the information that was leaked is information that Ledger would have needed in order to fulfill the purchase. So I don't agree with this statement, which says these people should also be upset to themselves for leaking their personal data to Ledger in the first place. It's like, this is how purchasing things online works. You need to provide enough information so that they can send it to you. Someone's made a comment in here. Protect your private keys with hardware. Now, this person, he's tweeted an image here. I think what he's done here is he's doctored this image. So protecting your personal keys with hardware, he's got a cryptocurrency key here and then what looks like a 9mm handgun next to it as a way of protecting your personal currency. So he's obviously just made this up as a bit of a joke, like you need a gun to protect your things. Mm-hmm. Unless you're in America, that kind of doesn't work. Like, you try that here, you're also going to jail because you got a gun.
You can legally get guns here.
Yeah, you can, but they're extremely limited. Like, it's, who do we know that has a gun in Australia? No. The only person I know, either here, to be honest, the only person I know, actually, I won't say who it is because maybe this person doesn't want them to know they got it. He's got it perfectly legally. I'll tell you who it is afterwards. Mm-hmm. But it's an extremely rare thing here. In fact, there was a piece in the news just a few days ago. I was telling you this about the guy whose home was invaded, and then he killed the home invader with a samurai sword.
Oh yeah.
And now this guy's been charged with manslaughter and is probably going to jail. Which looks bad on the surface of it, because I think we all agree that people who break into your home deserve to be at least touched up a little bit with a samurai sword, like maybe not killed. But in this case, the intruder had run out of the house and the homeowner had then chased him out of the house and then smashed him with a samurai sword. So it was no longer self-defense. It was then retribution, which, and you can't blame the guy for feeling angry,
but still,
you probably don't want people to die as a result of that. So anywho, now,
maybe just a little donk on the head.
Minor touch-up, inside the house before they get out. So point being is that if someone tries to break in and steal your cryptocurrency and you can't shoot them down in Australia because you don't have a gun, but if you kill them, that's there's a whole bunch of legal things about what is a reasonable level of force and self-defense, etc. So moving on, because it is a little bit morbid, I want to talk about another aspect of this which has come up many, many times as it relates to Have I Been Pwned. So, because so many people sent me the data, I took a break from holidaying and loaded the data into Have I Been Pwned? Because a lot of people are asking for this, and I got it in, I think, a few hours after it first came. Now, this Ledger data had two files in it. So, one was just email addresses, I assume, from a mailing list or something, and the other one was the couple of 100,000 odd email address, name, phone number, physical address. Now, every time I put something in Have I Been Pwned, from a data breach, it's like, get me all the email addresses, and they all go in as one incident. And many people quite rightly said, look, I would like to know, was it just my email address or was it all my other stuff? Because that's the difference between someone's going to send me some spam versus someone's going to send me an email telling me they're going to come and murder my family. And that's a reasonable question. Now, in Have I Been Pwned, like, this is often a problem where there is a data breach, and let's say, for the sake of round numbers, there's a million records, and the columns for every record is what sort of things you leave when you sign up, like name, email address, maybe date of birth, but it's optional, maybe physical address, but it's optional, maybe your star sign, but it's optional. And then what happens is, because a whole bunch of stuff is optional, out of the million records, only a subset have a date of birth and a subset have a star sign. And the question that comes up is, rather than Have I Been Pwned just saying that for a breach, date of birth, star sign, email address were exposed, can you tell us for every single one of those 1 million records which data you had leaked? So, maybe you sign up and you've left your date of birth and your star sign, but I sign up and I've only left my email address. Now, that would be relevant information to know. So over and over and over again, people said, why can't you do that? Why can't you just indicate when someone is loaded into the Ledger data breach, which data was exposed? And there are a couple of really, really good reasons I want to explain here. So number one is that when I load a data breach, I basically just run a regex over the data. Now, you don't know what a regex is yet. You are yet to have that pain. But what a regex does, it just looks for patterns. And it looks through and it says, get me all the email addresses. So I can take a file that's either 1,000 records or 100 million records, point this little program at it, and it just pulls out all the email addresses. Bam, that's it. And then that's what goes into Have I Been Pwned. If we get to the point where I've got to start saying, for every record, understand the schema of the data and identify which data fields have been filled versus not filled, the parsing goes from, like, literally start to run a command and then go get a coffee and then come back and it's done, to, in some cases, I'd be spending hours, if not days. So, for example, maybe it's a massive breach that's in a MySQL database backup format. I've got to spin up a VM with MySQL. I've got to restore the whole thing. I've got to start querying it. And then I've got to dump all of that out in a fashion which represents what is now effectively a two-dimensional array. So a whole bunch of records, and then for every record, which columns have been exposed. So the parsing effort goes through the roof. And yes, I know Ledger was just two separate files, so Ledger would have been simple, but there's only 500 data breaches, and Ledger is one of them. So I've got to figure out what are the patterns that I can use across everything and not just on every single separate incident somehow need to do things differently. So that's the challenge that we have with the Ledger situation. I can't just go through and pick out individual fields in the way that people have been asking for. The other thing is that it massively increases the storage requirement because of the 10-point-something billion records that are in Have I Been Pwned. I'll rephrase, actually. There's 10-point-something billion breached accounts, but there's five billion email addresses because each person's been breached twice or something on average. So then I've got to go through for every single one of those email addresses in there. There's an array of data breaches. So for every one of those array of data breaches, I have to add another dimension now, which would be an array of the fields that have been compromised. And also there's nearly 500 data breaches. Do I have to go back through them all and do this? So that becomes very difficult. That then flows through into everything from the UI. So how do I represent things in the interface through to the API? So there'd be changes to the API as well. It would just be a massive, 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 massive amount of work. And in the case of Ledger, there's actually a really simple answer. If you want to know whether your full address has been exposed or not, ask Ledger. Ledger has been, to the best of my knowledge, quite responsive when people have reached out. They are a legitimate organization trying to do the best after a bad situation. So that's why it's not in Have I Been Pwned in terms of the individual data attributes. Maybe in a long distant future when I've got time and resources and other people or something and it actually makes more sense, it would make sense, but for now, ask Ledger. Like, they lost the data and they are doing the right thing and letting people know what that data is if you contact them. Make sense?
Hmm?
Make sense? Seem reasonable? Well, we really don't have a choice. and I have been a little bit upset by some of the people who got rather angry that the free service I provide in my spare time didn't do things exactly the way they would like to. So let's move past those people. Now, last thing in here, there's a comment here saying a potential class action lawsuit against the company is already gathering momentum. Customers from around the globe are reporting their own tales of woe following the massive leak. So class action lawsuits happen when there's a whole bunch of people that want to bring a case against a company. So in this case, and there's a whole thread here on Reddit, class action lawsuit discussion thread. There's a whole bunch of people saying that we would like to get together and mount a legal case against this company to get some sort of compensation, inevitably financially. And for most data breaches, I kind of say this is really, they call it ambulance chasing. Ever heard that word?
No.
So ambulance chasing would be like, imagine there's a lawyer somewhere and he sees someone get hit, like a pedestrian get hit by a car, then the ambulance comes, picks up the pedestrian, takes them to the hospital. The lawyer follows after the ambulance to try and get business from the customer to sue the person who hit them.
Ah.
So that's the ambulance chasing term. So very often after a data breach, there's no evidence of harm, but people say, oh, this is an opportunity to get some money from the company. This one, when people are getting death threats, I think is going to be a little bit more nuanced than that. Yep. Now, I'm just going to have a look at the comments because I can see over here there have been a few coming through, and then we'll move on to the other things. Okay, so Mike here says, ledgers allow you to have two pins, nested encryption. This is because people were being held at gunpoint. Probably in America again.
Yep.
But an attacker wouldn't know if you have multiple pins, so you can have an account set up. Interesting. With one pin that only has a small amount of crypto. That's flashing on and off. Hopefully that is okay. I don't think it was that long ago that some of the people commented. All right, let's move on. Talk about holidays. Talk about what we have done. So I think this is sort of the end of the official cybery things. So I thought we'd just go through and talk about some of the things we've done here for people that are just interested in what Australia is like. And both of us have seen a whole heap of things that we've never seen before.
Yeah, like 4.5 meter crocodiles.
Yeah, well, let's start there. So, and I'm just going through, this is literally some of the photos and things we've tweeted. So tell us about, the crocs.
So we went on like a crocodile seeing tour where we would go on a boat and we would go see crocodiles. And this guy, like, he'd been doing it for, like, 20 or 30 years. And he drove us to, like, a tiny crocodile. It was only, like, a meter long, the first one.
Yeah, yeah, that was a female crocodile nesting or something to that effect.
Yeah, and then, like, we couldn't find any more, but he got a call on the radio saying that one of the guys found Scarface, the 4.5 meter long crocodile. And he was massive.
That was pretty cool. So we saw a huge croc. And then I like this. We've got a photo here of Charlotte standing on the beach. And just behind her, there's a sign. That was nice for me. Crocodiles inhabit this area. Attacks may cause injury or death. Keep away from the water's edge and do not enter the water. Take extreme care when retrieving boats. Do not clean fish or leave fish waste near the water's edge. Camp well away from the water. And that's not even the stingers yet, because then there's the stingers too.
Yeah.
So you can't go in the water. We're going to go in the water today, but there are some areas where it's just cordoned off, and there's like there's lifeguards. There's literally nets that hang down. We think it'll be all right. We'll let you know. And also 30 degrees Celsius in the water. It felt super warm, didn't it?
It was so nice.
All right, and what about this one?
Then we went on, what's that boat called?
Quicksilver.
No, like the actual boat.
The boat that takes you out. I think it's, well, they're just like Quicksilver 1, Quicksilver 2.
Oh, well, you don't know the type of boat?
No, it's like a catamaran.
Okay.
Yeah, but
we,
like
we,
a...
We wanted a massive catamaran.
High-speed catamaran.
To a massive pontoon. So we could go swimming in the Great Barrier Reef. And, yeah, it was really cool. We saw massive fish and, yeah. And then we went on a helicopter back because on the boat it was really annoying because, about the seat situation.
This is where I get comments about privilege. Well, I mean, in fairness, it saved us a heap of time. We got a bunch of day back too, but it's really unusual here in terms of the COVID situation insofar as we haven't had a community transmission in this state since I think it was 1st of September was the last community transmission we have. We've had some cases that are in hotel quarantine because people have flown back from overseas, but we haven't had a community transmission now for more than, I think, about 4 months. There'll almost be 4 months if it was 1st September. So that's been okay. But we have other states that have had upticks. Now, just for context, like this state, money. Someone just got out of bed. This state has 5.1 million people in it. It's twice the size of Texas. Or if you're in the UK, to put it in perspective, it's about 8 times the size of the UK. So it's a massive place with a very small amount of people. But, you know, I was thinking yesterday, like Al and I went into Cairns, into a big shopping centre. The shopping centre was packed with people everywhere. Zero, zero, zero mask usage because we just haven't had an issue here.
I didn't get that. Could you try again?
She's always listening. So that's really interesting because there are other parts of the country where it's very, very different. So Melbourne had a big uptick. Sydney's had a recent issue, which they seem to be getting on top of. And I didn't tell you this, but I saw someone on Twitter make a comment where they flew from Brisbane to Melbourne. And they said in Brisbane, it's like 1 in 10 people are wearing a mask. Everyone's pretty casual. Flew down to Melbourne. It's like everyone and strict social distancing. So we've been extremely fortunate here. It's just not a thing. However, statewide and nationwide, there's a bunch of restrictions around things like social distance. So when we went on the catamaran here, we're sitting at and this is a large boat. I'd say the boat would take a couple of hundred people.
Yeah.
So anyway, sure. We're sitting on the boat, and we've got a table with four seats facing one way, four seats facing the other way, and there's four of us. So we're like, sweet, you know, we'll put two on one side, two on the other side. And they're like, no, everyone needs to be on the same side, everyone facing the same direction because COVID. And I'm like, it just felt really odd and unnecessary. And again, we're in a very privileged position to be able to say this. But it was things like every time someone had to get out, it's like everyone had to squeeze across because it was super, super tight, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And then the one in the window, Charlotte was sitting next to the window, and it was right in the sun, in the like 33-degree blasting sun. And it just became very, very uncomfortable. But as I say that, you kind of realize how fortunate we are as well, right? Where it's like, yeah, that's uncomfortable and all the rest of it, but we're able to be here, and now, you know, we're pretty much free from COVID. Well, I just learned we have a telephone in here.
Yeah, that's weird.
Anyway, so moving on. What else we do?
We went to a reptile zoo, and we fed wallabies and kangaroos, and we saw a massive crocodile, and it would jump out of the water to get some meat.
It was really cool. And yeah. Every time this croc jumped out, and this was, I think, a 4-something-meter croc, and the jaws snapped. How did it sound?
It sounded like hollow.
But it sounded so hard. Apparently, they've got, the highest pressure from the teeth of any animal whatsoever, which is kind of crazy.
Mm.
And the next one?
And then we went barramundi fishing in a barramundi farm. It's called Hookabarra.
Hookabarra.
It was really fun. Everyone caught at least two fish, but some of the fish here are very sneaky because 11 times I hooked on a bar and then they got away. 11.
But it was all catch and release, and all the hooks are barbless, so it's which is also why you lost 11 fish,
right? Yeah.
Because you know what I mean by the barber, it comes around and has a little
it doesn't hurt the fish.
But in this case they're barbless, so if you don't keep tension on, then it can get off. But they're sort of large ponds. They breed the fish there. We'd sort of pull them in, catch them in the net, the two guys helping us, and then you take a photo and then you put them back in. That's from why.
Yeah.
And then we took away a couple of fillets that they'd caught a few days earlier. And I think you were very impressed with my fish cooking, weren't you?
Yes, it was very nice.
You actually said it was better than the restaurant we went to the following night.
Wait, go back to the fish?
No, because now you just scrolled off the thread. So we'll go back. There was the fish.
Go back to it's eating the guy's hand.
Yeah, well, and every time you tell a fish tale, it gets bigger. But with your hands, roughly how big was the biggest fish? You're out of
frame.
Maybe
that big?
Get a comment. Let's say that. Yeah, it probably was that big.
Maybe.
I think the biggest one we got, Al got, we started on a pond that had bigger fish, but they just didn't bite as much, and she got the first fish, and that would have been the biggest one of the day, and it would have been a good meter, it was a massive unit. So that was good. And the bats, tell me about the bats.
Oh, so every night around 6 to 6:30, there would be thousands of bats that all fly overhead. And they'd, we have no idea where they all come from, because then, the next morning, we'd all see, we'd see hundreds and hundreds all in trees.
Yeah.
And so when Dad and I were playing tennis this morning, we saw thousands all, fighting and screeching.
Yeah, they all just, head back to the trees and hang upside down. But, in this, and again, I've just got a thread going with the tweets, there's just, hundreds and hundreds of bats all hanging upside down, obviously, because that's what bats do, in the tree, and it's bizarre, isn't it? We got up to 40 degrees in the car in one day. That was nice.
Yep.
So I got in the pool and drank beer. That was nice. Now, you didn't want to do this, but yep. Because Elle, my 8-year-old daughter, is a very daring child, she wanted to go bungee jumping. So she and I were going to go bungee jumping. and her daringness is more than her age. So we got there and they went, no, because yeah. she's eight, she can't go bungee jumping.
Yeah, you have to be over 45 kilos.
Yeah, you got to be. So you have to be 10 or older and 45 kilo over. So
I'm over 10 and I'm just over 45 kilos.
So you qualified, she didn't. So she and I ended up doing one of those giant swings where they sort of pull you up and they drop you. And what I didn't realize, I think I explained this to you, is I thought it would let go and you'd swing, right? And it would just be gradual. But you don't. You just drop straight down and then the rope catches you and then the carabiner hits you on the back of the head, which is why you have to wear a helmet. Because I was looking at it going, why am I wearing a helmet? Because if I crash, I'm dead anyway, right?
Yeah.
But no, so when the carabiner hits you on the back of the head, you're okay. So there's a video in here that they take with a GoPro, which is pretty epic. We went over a whole bunch of piles of rocks.
Oh, yeah. That was cool.
Rocks were cool. And then here's just signs of like all the stuff that's going to bite you or sting you. We got dressed up, took a nice photo.
Yep.
Had a nice dinner. And then yesterday you went and had a massage. You and Charlotte went, you guys had a spa treatment.
Very relaxing.
Which is very nice. And then Al and I went parasailing.
Yep.
So, you know, the parachute like behind the boat where you get taken up, which to be honest also felt kind of precarious. Like I didn't feel comfortable, to be honest.
Well, I mean, you're hanging by a rope and you're like 20, 30 feet above the water and you're only hanging by one.
I know, and you could like see how much she's swinging there. And I'm just looking, I don't know how high, well, we would have been like 100 meters, surely, above the water. But I'm just looking at my daughter in front of me swinging backwards and forwards with these two little clips and I'm just like, if one of those clips goes, that's it. We're cactus. That is the end of it. Well, I pictured myself in like in that cliffhanger movie of Sylvester Stallone. Have you seen that?
Rambo?
No, not Rambo. There's a movie called Cliffhanger with Sylvester Stallone. Oh. And they're like climbing up these cliffs and there's this big cable across a big chasm and him and his girlfriend are like climbing across there and her clip lets go and she falls and he grabs her with his hand and then she's slipping,
oh,
and then she
lets go
and she falls and dies.
Oh, I think I remember like seeing that.
Yeah, it felt a little bit like that. So we're getting sort of towards the end of this. If anyone has any questions, drop them in the chat here. Cyber questions, Australiana questions, leave those here. Thanks, Mike, for just clarifying. Our video got choppy for a little bit but came good. The connectivity here hasn't been great. There is a nice ubiquity access point in every villa. Which is so ubiquity is all the stuff we got in the house at home. So that's cool, ubiquity gear. But the connectivity then upstream of this obviously isn't very reliable.
Not very good.
Not very good. But like it hasn't been – I've been to places that have been much worse, like the farm stay. The farm stay, remember? We basically had no connection there. Had like a megabit.
It's terrible. Couldn't watch any YouTube.
Oh, no. It was so harsh.
First world problems.
So just for a little bit of Aussie Christmas Day perspective, because I think particularly with Charlotte here, we can see how different it is in Europe, where for them, in a lot of Scandinavia, so she's Norwegian, a lot of their stuff is Christmas Eve, which was kind of like yesterday for us, but still today for them. And she's like, it feels like Christmas is over already because everything's Christmas Eve. And we're like, well, in Australia, everything's Christmas Day. Like you'd maybe watch the carols on Christmas Eve.
And then you'd stay at home, eat junk, and watch Christmas movies and open presents.
and open presents. So we did most of our presents before we came away, but then because Santa went shopping yesterday, there are a couple of
And I wonder sets. What Santa All spent right. my $50 on.
Yeah, we gave him a budget, but we'll see. I might have broken.
I was tempted on getting a beer that said number one dad for me.
Where do you live? Okay, number one, why a beer? Number two, why do you need a dad thing for you?
So I can rub it in your face.
Thanks, mate. So what we typically do in Australia is you have presents on Christmas Day morning. We'll do a few after we get off this call here, this live stream. I got a pork yesterday, so we're going to make a nice pork.
Piggy.
Oh, someone at the gate. Oh, that is. So we're going to make a nice roast pork lunch. We've got some steaks for dinner tonight. And I think we're going to go down and play on the beach for a bit as well. Which would be nice. So just looking at some of the comments here, someone says, I know this isn't really connected to what you've been talking about, but just want to say thanks a lot for your programming videos. Best video on CSRF I've ever seen. We'll talk about CSRF another time. So cool. Cross-forgery stuff. happy holiday things. So we've only got a couple of days left here, actually.
Yep, two more days before me and Elle are going to go back to the Gold Coast as an unaccompanied minor.
So you guys get to have your first flight alone back to the Gold Coast.
Business class.
Frequent fly points go a long way. Let's just say that. And I tell you what, I can't do anything else with the frequent fly points. So fortunately, you've done well.
Do I have to wear a mask?
Probably.
Cool.
It's a good question. They'll work it out. The thing is, as well, that this is just an internal Queensland flight too. So unless you became this really, really odd statistic where for the first time in 4 months there was a community transmission, you'd be fine. But you're in a plane as well. Mm. Tell you what, do what the flight attendants say.
Okay.
That makes it easy. And then Charlotte and I get to start the really big, 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 big part of the drive where we've got to leave.
10 hours.
Like every day. This is the thing. So we've got to get from here ultimately to Uluru. You might know it as its previous name of Ayers Rock. So we've got to get about 3,000 kilometers west through the desert. Do you miss not doing that?
Miss the drive?
Yeah.
Would you want to also miss my dog, so.
All right, you want to go home and see your dog. All right, so thanks very much for watching this. The next one will be New Year's Day. We will be in Uluru at that time. I've got no idea if we're going to have any connectivity or not. So if I don't, it'll be a pre-record. If we've got enough connectivity, it'll be live from the desert next to Uluru, which might be an absolutely epic scene. But we'll see if I've actually got enough connection to do that.
Yep.
Cool. Thank you for watching.
Yeah, I don't think Uluru has ubiquity.
I bet you that if they have anything, they'll have ubiquity, surely.
Well, I mean, like in the rock.
Not in the rock, no. You can't do that. No. All right. Cheers, folks.
Bye.